Samuel to Solomon, chapter 12, after my own heart. Sometimes scoffers quote the words of the Lord. I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, in connection with David's great sin, in order to show that the God of the Bible is not the God of truth and righteousness, forgetting or not knowing that the words were spoken long before that event, with reference to David's general disposition, and that the sin of David was signally rebuked by the Lord, and acknowledged by David. Let us, with that same statement about David in mind, study a few points in his character, in order that we may see with what sort of disposition God is pleased. In so doing we shall get profit to ourselves. A king tending sheep. In the 16th chapter of 1 Samuel we have the account of the first public appearance of David. The prophet Samuel had been directed by the Lord to go and anoint one of the sons of Jesse to be king in the place of Saul, whom he had rejected. Seven sons of Jesse passed before the prophet, but the Lord's choice was not among them. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all your children? And he said, There remains yet the youngest, and behold, he keeps the sheep. At Samuel's order, he was sent for, and as soon as he appeared, the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. Immediately, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. What did David do then? Did he assume a lordly air, and demand to be treated as a king? Did he at once place himself before the public, proclaiming the fact that the Lord had chosen him king, and attempt to seize the authority, or demand at least to be consulted in regard to public affairs? Nothing of the kind. He made no claim whatever in his own behalf, simply because the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. If he had put himself forward, he would have shown himself unfit to lead the Lord's people. Read onward in the chapter, and you will find that some time afterwards a musician was needed to play before Saul. Then someone recommended the son of Jesse, and Saul sent messengers, saying, Send me David your son, which is with the sheep. So we see that David had returned to his sheep after he was anointed king, as though nothing had happened. An anointed king keeping sheep. How natural it would have been to persuade himself that he was wasting his talents, and that it was his duty to be leading men instead of sheep. But he did nothing of the kind, because he was a man according to God's heart, and the Lord is meek and lowly in heart. Here we have a sample of the kind of men whom God uses in his work. A king at service. And David came to Saul, and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor-bearer. At last David is at court. It looks as though there was now more prospect that he might fill the position for which he had been anointed, than when he was tending sheep. But still he is only an armor-bearer, a servant. Now we shall expect to see him begin to work himself forward and push his claims to the allegiance of the people. That's because we don't know the Lord. David was a man according to God's own heart, and God's heart is love, and love vaunts not itself, and seeks not her own. Instead of seizing upon the throne, which was his by divine right, David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. The special object for which he was called to Saul seems to have been accomplished, and the anointed king returned contentedly to his father's sheep in the wilderness. But he did not stay there. There was war, and three of his brothers were in Saul's army. The brothers, who had been passed by in the choice of a king, were in the army, where there was some chance of distinguishing themselves and becoming known, while David, the one chosen and anointed, was an unknown shepherd boy. At last he also was sent to the army, but only as a messenger to carry provisions, and to come again. And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for your brethren an ephah of this parched corn, and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to your brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how your brethren fare, and take their pledge. Suppose that David had proudly refused to do such menial service. Why should he, the anointed king, act as an errand boy? Thousands of people with far less ability than he, and having no such evidence as he had that the Lord has called them to the work, have refused to do humble work that they thought was beneath them, and have complained bitterly that they were not elevated to the position to which they felt sure that God had called them. But then they were not chosen ones, according to God's heart. If David had refused to perform that humble task, he would have missed the opportunity of doing a thing which brought his name before all Israel, and fastened the eyes of the nation upon him. We often miss a high place, because we think ourselves already too high to occupy a low place. Goliath was slain, and David was in high favor. And Saul took him that day, and would let him no more go home to his father's house. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Here at last was a position more in keeping with his real calling. Nevertheless, he was only a servant. But favor is deceitful, and Saul's regard for David soon cooled. The people's regard for David aroused Saul's jealousy, and so Saul removed him from him, and made him his captain over 1,000. Although called upon to step down to a lower position than he had occupied, there was no complaint. But David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. That was why David behaved so wisely, for Christ, when he was in the form of God, counted it not a prize to be on an equality with God, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. By his willingness to serve, David was demonstrating his fitness to reign, a king in hiding. Finally, David was compelled to flee for his life from the presence of Saul. But why did he submit to such injustice? Why did he not stand his ground and claim his rights? The throne was his by right, and the people respected and loved him. Why did he not assert his right to the throne, rally the people around him, and take possession of the place to which God had anointed him? The reason why is that God was with him, and he was a man after God's heart. Christ was the manifestation of God to men, and he, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Thus did David. Twice Saul was completely within his power, yet no advantage did he take of it. It was not because David restrained himself that he did not kill Saul, but because he had no desire to do so. This is shown by the fact that when at one time he had cut off the skirt of Saul's robe, his heart smote him even for that. The Lord had anointed David to be king, and David was determined to leave it wholly with the Lord to bring him to the throne. It is easy for men to say that their case is in the Lord's hands, and at the same time to persuade themselves that God has left all the details to them. The pagan idea that God helps those who help themselves has a large place in the creed of many Christians. So the friends of David tried to persuade him. When Saul was in the cave where David was, they said, "Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto you, Behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it shall seem good unto you." But David was not to be persuaded to take the Lord's work out of his hands. God had said that David should be king, and it was the Lord's business to perform his own promise. On another occasion, David found Saul asleep. Then said Abishai to David, "God has delivered your enemy into your hand this day. Now therefore let me smite him, I pray you, and with the spear even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time." How many of us are there who could have resisted so specious an argument? How natural it would be to persuade ourselves that in refusing to act we should be neglecting the clearly indicated will of God. But David knew the Lord better than that. He said, "As the Lord lives, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed." Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest. He made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him. He was the one in whom God was well pleased, and it was because of the same spirit in David that God exalted him. Let us not forget that no one but a learner is fit to teach, and no one who is not always willing to serve can ever reign with the Lord. God calls us all to a place in his work, but it is that we may be instruments in his hands, and not he an instrument in our hands. There can be no real advancement except directly from God. For whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. E.J. Wagoner.